Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
All right, latest episode of Pharrell on a bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out, fancy, broken, ate a bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad actors, bad taste, bad luck, bad dude, bad breath, bad attention, bad vibes. We love giving you a little taste of the people dressed in plastic bags, directing traffic, some kind of fashion shake it up, should do, but all my friends that come around, thoughts and flats, party up, rats on the west side, bedbugs uptown, what a mess, this town's tattered, my brain's splattered all over Manhattan, should do be shake out, ooh. All right, so today I want to talk about, like, at the very least, like, start by getting into Pat Mahomes rolling to Disney World. You know, I've heard all this I can take that he had like a premonition when he was a kid. As a 17-year-old in 2013, just a few years ago, he said, I bet it feels amazing to be the quarterback who says, I'm going to Disney World after winning the Super Bowl. Hashtag quarterbacks. So there you go. And then his dream came true. The guy won the Super Bowl, and then he got to go to Disney World. He said, I think just seeing the excitement and, you know, the joy, I've always seen it. You always see it every single year when a quarterback says, you know, I'm going to Disney World. It's such an iconic thing. I didn't even remember tweeting it until it came back out before the Super Bowl. For me, it was just such an iconic thing and something that was special, and I wanted to do it. And now I have, and I'm here, and it's amazing. So he was rocking it at Disney World. When I won the game and then came up and told me that I had won the MVP, it was amazing just to be able to say those words and to be here now. I tried to dream it, and I tweeted it, and I kind of spoke it into existence. He said, I was never that kid to go against my parents. To me, it was just, let's just go try this football thing out. Let's go to college and play it. I mean, you're lucky enough to get a scholarship. Try to see if you can make it, make something of it. And, you know, we found a way. I got drafted to the Chiefs, And now, God, the rest is history. I just wanted to follow it and see where it took me. I still thought that there was a good chance I was going to play baseball, but I wanted to see where football took me. And I was able to go out there and succeed. And then asked what his advice he'd give to his younger self. He said, quote, "It was just like what I did. Follow your dreams and not just do what everyone thinks you should do, but follow your dreams. It's worked out and I've basically become everything that I wanted to be." So he was all fired up about all of this. He said he's gotten no sleep at all. He said, "There's a bunch of guys I was joking around with my girlfriend, Brittany, that at one point I was looking at my messages. He got over 250. And I had Peyton Manning, Brett Favre, Troy Polamalu, Brooks Koepka, just all these different people." And he said he still wants to hear from Chris Paul, who left him speechless last season at a Mavs game when he just said, "Hey, man, I love your game." I was like, I couldn't even say anything. I was just like, "Yours too." He's also heard from his former teammate, Alex Smith. And he said that he texted me right after the game saying he enjoyed it as much as we did. He wasn't there, but he was a big part of it. I think that's the biggest thing. He built the culture that I came into. He was the guy that led the team to all these successful seasons and built that winning culture. He said my dad was tearing up a bit, just told me how proud he was. Just being able to be there and seeing him live out his dream and get the win is definitely different. Seeing your parents cry, Mahomes said, who remembers taking trips to Disney World as a kid when his father was in spring training. It's something where you just try to go out and be the best player, the best person you can be every single day. And in doing that, you do things that your parents can be proud of. So I've always believed that if I'm the best person and I am every single day working hard, I can do stuff and be positive in this world. He finally said, "I think being from here and everything, then the Chiefs being able to win it in his hometown, it's very special." When he was talking about Derek Thomas's death in Miami following a car accident in Kansas City, Thomas, also in the Chiefs Hall of Fame, was from Miami, and his mother still lives in Miami. Thomas's children were in Miami for the Super Bowl, so he was really happy that it worked out and that they could see that. He said, "It's crazy how stuff works out. He was such a vital part of our organization for such a long time, one of the greatest defensive players of all time. So for us to be able to win and bring whatever joy we can to his family is special." Now, you got to admit, all that stuff is beautiful, and it's kind of teary-eyed stuff. I mean, this guy just, he comes across as really the, I mean, maybe the greatest human being ever, because Tom Brady was that, right? Tom Brady has lost his greatest person in the world man card, where he was just absolutely wonderful and no one could ever be better than Tom Brady. Better looking, better father, better husband, better looking wife. He had better game, more rings, everything, just, more MVPs and everything else, Super Bowl MVPs. I mean, the guy was just irreplaceable as the greatest human being ever. But now the world has moved on from Tom Brady. They don't even care about him anymore. They just pretend like they do, because what they really care about is Patrick Mahomes. I'm not sure everybody's a Kansas City Chiefs fan, but there are a lot of people that are just Pat Mahomes fans. I mean, his dad was a baseball player. His godfather was a baseball player, Hawkins. His dad was, obviously a pitcher as well. And here he is with all this lineage and genes and talent and skill and really everything, bravado. He's Macho Man. He's like Randy Macho Man Savage. He does the whole pumping his arms thing and showing everybody how strong he is, that he's a badass and everything. But here's the deal. What I really want to talk about on Pharrell on the Bench about Patrick Mahomes is not that he got the MVP and not that he, won the Super Bowl. And really, what I want to talk about is Disney World. I mean, I just think it's the greatest ripoff in the history of the world. Now, look, I won't deny that Disney World is kick-ass, right? It's a fun day. It's a fun way to spend a day with your family. It's a blast, and it's, nice weather, and I mean, I've been to the one in Florida, and I've been to the one Disneyland in California. They got them all over the world. They got them in Tokyo. They got them in Paris. They got them all over the world. There's Disney Worlds now. So they literally have taken over the world. And the thing is that, like, I went to the one, I went to Disneyland a couple summers ago when I was in San Diego surfing in La Jolla, right? I was staying at the Fairmont Grand Del Mar, which is badass. And it's like, bro, I mean, it cost me $20,000 to stay there for like 10 days. It was crazy. Like, I had this gigantic suite. I had my family there, 34C, the Young Gun, and Chopper. And it was all Gandhi. I had it all going. I mean, living large, the whole thing. And then, you know, I come home broke and with, you know, $20,000 in credit card bills. So all I know is I'm at this trip, right? And next thing I know, Chopper starts clamoring about going to Disneyland. She's like, how far is Disneyland? And I'm like, oh, God, here we go. No way. Please, God, no. I don't want to go to Disneyland. Because I'm old. I'm not interested. It just sucks. And I know the deal about Disneyland. And the deal is this, is that I know that if I go to Disneyland, it's such a travesty, a ripoff, epic proportions. I mean, to tell you, I knew that if I went to that place, I was going to drop a couple grand. And sure enough, I went there. And in 4 hours, I spent $2,000. 4 hours, $2,000 in 4 hours. I may have rode four rides in 4 hours. It's like one ride an hour. And not only that, the rides suck. I mean, I guess they're great for kids and kids have a blast and everything else. But once your kids get to a point where they're like teenagers, then they think the rides suck, right? They actually rank... They rank the rides. They have little kid ride rankings. They have toddler ride rankings. They have family ride rankings. I mean, it is just unbelievable. So the top family ride ranked ride is Toy Story Mania at Disney's Hollywood Studios. Okay. And then number two is Soarin' Around the World at Epcot. Of course, you got the Magic Kingdom, Hollywood Studios, Epcot, Animal Kingdom. They got all this stuff going on. Number three is Seven Dwarfs Mine Train in the Magic Kingdom. And that's family rides. And the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train sucks, okay? I've already done that ride. It is clearly not cool. The toddler rides, the Dumbo Flying Elephant ride in the Magic Kingdom. I mean, I've done the Dumbo ride, and it's embarrassing, is what it is. It's embarrassing that I got on that fat elephant ride and went around in circles and got dizzy. I mean, to tell you, it really sucked. And then the Prince Charming Regal Carousel. Who goes on a carousel and has fun? How about I go on a carousel and I want to punch someone in the face? The little kid rides, the Toy Story Mania, again, the top-ranked ride, Barnstormer at the Magic Kingdom, number two, and then Buzz Lightyear's Space Ranger Spin. I don't want to spin in anything, teacups or otherwise, so as to not hurl. The big kid rides at Epcot, Soarin' Around the World. I don't even want to know what that is. At Animal Kingdom is number two, the Avatar Flight of Passage. And then at Epcot, I've been on the test track. That's where they race those cars, but they're not really racing the car. You're on like a track. The car is stuck on a rod and it like... You drive around and you're not even like driving. You're just thinking you're driving because the rod is pulling you down the stretch. So I have a problem with that being number three. They have that ahead of Splash Mountain and ahead of Big Thunder Mountain Railroad, which is a roller coaster. And I'm going to tell you about that roller coaster coming up.
Are you ready for the nation's first and only free 24-hour network dedicated to you, the betting and fantasy sports enthusiast? SportsGrid will provide you with real-time content, statistics, and gaming intelligence unlike anything you've ever seen before. Located both in the heart of New York City and inside the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands, SportsGrid is live 18 hours a day, here to serve you, the fanatic. This is SportsGrid. Get on the grid.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so I was talking about being at Disney World and all of these rides, and I think a problem I'm having is that they overvalue these rides. I got to tell you. So I've been on all of them, and I got to tell you, the Big Thunder Mountain Railroad, I did that roller coaster. And it is the absolute worst. The boxcar you sit in, literally your knees are in your face. They're in your mouth. And then this ride throws you around. And you literally, when you get off of it, you have a separated hip from your tailbone. Because it just crashes you from side to side in this little tiny box. And whoever you're sitting in there with, you're just hammering each other and smashing against each other and hitting the outside of this box, and you have no room whatsoever. Your knees are in your mouth and you are just absolutely getting bashed around everywhere. So it's a roller coaster that basically hurts you. When you get off of the Big Thunder Mountain Railroad, you want to die. You do not want to ride any more rides for an hour because you're so beat up. Physically, you've been pounded and thrown around like popcorn in a popcorn maker. It is awful. And then they rank Toy Story Mania number 6, Star Wars at Hollywood Studios, The Adventure Continues number 7, The Twilight Zone Tower of Terror in the Hollywood Studios is really a kick-ass ride if you like vomiting. So what happens is they take you to the top of this tower and then they drop you down floors, like 2 or 3 floors you drop down, then you go up, then you drop down 3 or 4 more, then you go up, then you drop 1, then you go up, you drop 5, and you just go up and down, dropping, and you drop out of the sky, and when you drop, the doors swing open, and you see the Disney World Park, and you see people everywhere walking around as you're screaming your face off because all you do is drop out of thin air like 10, 12 times on this ride. So when I got off at a Twilight Zone Tower of Terror, I literally was like purple and I had nausea. I thought I was going to yak. and it just was awful. I did it once and never again. I mean, I think they literally try to make your ass go through your mouth. So what happens is you drop so many times free falling that you end up literally with your ass in your mouth. And it's just a very unpleasant experience. I did it once. I'll never do it again. That's ranked 8. Number 9, Pirates of the Caribbean in the Magic Kingdom. Now, this is the worst ride ever. I don't care about the Pirates of the Caribbean. And you go around in this dark cavern and they show you all these characters and, you know, I guess things in the Caribbean jungle and all this other stuff. And it's just boring. I mean, it is like the longest yard, and it weaves its way through this dark, you know, tour through this cavern, and it's just overrated. I mean, there's nothing to it. You need to bring chronic, like a bowl to smoke, or you got to have some kind of liquor with you. You have to have a form of liquor available to you when you're in the dark in the Pirates of the Caribbean. You need to have something to get you through the boredom of it. So if you have a little flask or a little airline, little, you know, shot pounder, like of JMO, you might be able to get through the Pirates of the Caribbean. And then you've got the number 10, Cali River Rapids at the Animal Kingdom. Another ride that gets you wet. And that's all it is. It throws you around in this log. You get wet and you're miserable. Same thing with the Kilimanjaro safaris in the Animal Kingdom. They drive you around and you look at giraffes and rhinoceroses and things of this nature. And it's just absolutely awful. And it smells like horse cable. I mean, it is absolutely, and really, lions, tigers, and giant giraffe cable. And I mean, just, they're giant dunks of cable all over the place. And you're riding around in it, and you're like, I will never do a safari again as long as I live. Now, number 12 is the Haunted Mansion. I will say that I think the Haunted Mansion is pretty cool, although you have to be baked to go in the Haunted Mansion. You have to be high. You have to be hammered. You have to have a buzz so that what is deemed scary will actually utilize its approach of scaring people, and that you will actually be scared, because Disney World is not in the business of scaring people. They're in the business of taking your money. And I think that the Haunted Mansion is very cute. It's very clever. It's very smart. It's very sophisticated in its horror. But it is not scary horror. It's kind of cool horror. So in other words, I think the Haunted Mansion is probably higher rated here. I would clearly put the Haunted Mansion as one of the top 5 big kid rides. I would put it in front of Toy Story and Star Wars and Pirates of the Ferelian, which is pathetic. I would also put it in front of easily the Cali River Rapids and the Kilimanjaro Safaris. The Haunted Mansion is one of the legendary great from the beginning type of situations you can get in at Disney World in terms of rides, whatever you want to call it. Tours, going through it. The mansion is absolutely cool. And it's very creative and smart and well done. The Haunted Mansion is one of the greatest rides at Disney World, if you want to call it that. And it's obvious that the 12 ranking is done by fascists and scumbags who think that they can just ruin the legacy of the Haunted Mansion. Terrible. Number 13 is the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train at the Magic Kingdom. I do not want to go on a mine train with dwarfs. I don't. It's just not fun at all. Then you have, at the Animal Kingdom, the Expedition Everest, the legend of the Forbidden Mountain. I am forbidden from going on this because I don't want to go on it. Space Mountain is ranked 15th. Now, I have to tell you, I have gone on Space Mountain many times, and all of those times, I was absolutely cheeched out of my face. Not only that, I was able to smoke a bowl on Space Mountain. I was a lot younger. I was a troublemaker. I was a heathen and really a bad person overall. But my buddy and I, Party Bones, we rode Space Mountain together and smoked a fatty while we were in the dark, right? So I think Space Mountain is clearly top five. I would put it up there. They have Big Thunder Mountain Railroad up at number five. I would put that knee and hip breaker all the way down to like number 10, and I would put Space Mountain in the top five, probably at the number four or three position. It's a very strong effort. Then you've got the other rides, which don't matter either, and I'm going to get into those. Number 16, Slinky Dog Dash. That just sounds bad. It just sounds like, you know, pigs in a blanket or something like that. I don't want the stinky, slinky dog dash. The Jungle Cruise, it's pretty creative. It's pretty cool. Everybody remembers the Jungle Cruise at Disney World, right? And then Buzz Lightyear's Space Ranger Spin, I'm not into it. Mission Space, number 19. Peter Pan's Flight is number 20. And, of course, the Small World is ranked 21. It's a small world after all. It's a small world after all. It's a small world after all. It's a small, small world. I know Mafia has told me some of his favorite rides are the Magic Carpets of Aladdin and then the Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh, and then Carver High loves Frozen Ever After. I mean, there's all kinds of rides that everybody likes. How about the Grand Fiesta Tour with the Three Caballeros? Very strong effort there. The Tomorrowland Transit Authority People Mover. Then you've got the Main Street Vehicles. Actually, Main Street is where you blow money. Everyone knows what happens on Main Street. You stuff your face, you eat sugar, you eat cotton candy, you eat popcorn, you drink very expensive sodas, and then everyone gets sick. So in other words, like, your kids will get a stomachache at Disney World, and then you've spent $2,000, and your kid is hurling and yakking all over the park. And then there's Pharrell. If he rides the Tower of Terror and I get sick, I'm basically miserable, and the day is ruined for me for at least 2 hours. Now, you're there at the Disney World for upwards of 12 hours, and by the time you're gone, your feet ache, your back aches, your knees ache, you're in a bad mood, and you want to lash out at people because you've been there too long, you're tired, you're grumpy, and you're broke. When you eat food at Disney World, you can guarantee that you're going to spend a fortune on a family of four. Forget it. It's going to be $300 for lunch. And for a family of four for dinner, you're looking at $500. I mean, Disney World is the Federal Reserve. They're printing money. Bottom line is, if you go there, you're going to drop $3,000. It doesn't matter which park you go to. It doesn't matter if you like the rides or not. You are going to get soaked. Not by water on water rides. You're going to get soaked and taken and fleeced by Disney World people because they're smiling and they're all very nice and they're all hospitable and they'll do anything for you as long as you give them all of the money in your pockets and your mortgage and your children and your car and your lover. They will take everything from you because that's what they do. They are money grubbers. They take all of it and keep it all and leave you sunburned and tired. This is a fact. All of it is true. Patrick Mahomes went to Disney World, and I don't give a rat's ass. I don't care. Whoever goes to Disney World every year ends up getting vacuum fleeced of all their cash.
Are you ready for the nation's first and only free 24-hour network dedicated to you, the betting and fantasy sports enthusiast? SportsGrid will provide you with real-time content, statistics, and gaming intelligence unlike anything you've ever seen before. Located both in the heart of New York City and inside the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands, SportsGrid is live 18 hours a day, here to serve you, the fanatic. This is SportsGrid. Get on the grid.
One other thing I wanted to talk about in terms of Disney World before I jump off of that subject is the utter hell that standing in line all day at Disney World is. It's literally one of the great failures in life is the system that they use to make people stand in line like cattle literally all day long. Now, I will give you that they have the fast pass, and I won't deny that it's better than the regular lines, which are, you know, just horrific. You sit there for an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours to get on a ride that lasts for 1 minute. And so it is very aggravating. Now, the fast pass is certainly quicker, but it's still, you know, 45 minutes per ride at least. You're not just running straight to the front of the line and getting on the ride and avoiding it. You're still standing in line 45 to an hour. The other one's, you know, an hour 40, hour 50, 2 hours, 2.5 hours. I mean, Christ, how many hours can I stand there and smell everyone's body odor and see people losing their tempers, which is exactly what happens? Because generally, when you're at Disney World, it's 90 degrees and it's hotter than Haiti and it's humid and you will literally melt and you have nothing really to drink or anything else. Generally, you're not sitting there drinking in line. You're standing in line. So when you're standing there all day and it's 100% humidity and it's 90 degrees, you are dying and you are soaking wet and you smell and you are stinky muffins and you are dripping. And everyone around you, especially fat people, they're even worse. And they reek. And I hate it more than anything in life is standing in line. I can't even stand in line to get on an airplane. I cannot stand in line from the gate to the plane. You know, the tube they make you stand in from the gate to the door of the plane where everybody's standing in the, whatever you want to call it, the tarmac or whatever the hell they call that tunnel up in the air where you're standing and walking from the gate to the actual door of the plane and everyone's standing in that hallway and you're miserable. I can barely do that, let alone 90 degrees with 100% humidity, dripping ass and smelling. It's the worst. Now, Disneyland is better because it's dry heat and it's generally never 90 degrees in Anaheim where it is. It's like 75 degrees, 80 max. So it's more tolerable. It's better, but it still sucks. I mean, you spend $2,000 in 4 hours. You spend $3,000 in 6.5 hours, 7 hours. If you're there for 12 hours, you might spend $5,000 and you're standing in line for 6 hours out of the 12. I mean, at least. And then you go eat, and I told you that'll cost you $300, $500. I mean, it's insanity. And like, if I'm going to spend that much cash, I don't want to smell you. If I'm going to spend that much cash, I don't want to see you soaking wet and screaming at your kids who are crying and yakking and sneezing and coughing and hurling and complaining. And then, I mean, it is like federal prison standing in those lines. And they, you know, weave around and wrap around and you just keep standing there and you're in these chains. It's like, it is the worst experience ever. And I'm telling you, I don't care how much you love your kids. It sucks. I mean, I've had more fun in the back of a police car. I've had more fun at a police station. I've had more fun at my mother-in-law's house on Thanksgiving. I mean, who in their right mind wants to stand in line all day ever to do anything? I don't even, like, look, I can't even fly and coach. because it's just, they treat you like cattle. It's bad enough in first class and business class. It's barely tolerable. I can't, the security lines at the airport are the absolute worst. I want to kill somebody. I'm so awful at those places. Standing in line at anything, standing in line at a fast food place sucks. Standing in line at the airport is clearly the worst, and Disney World tops that. Disneyland tops that. I don't care. Universal Studios, it sucks standing in line all day, but they got way better rides there. I mean, just fantastic. Like, what was it? The Van Halen roller coaster, Aerosmith roller coaster, whatever the hell it is. That's badass. I mean, absolutely badass. Now, I don't even remember if that one's at Disney World, because I could have sworn, like, it might be near the Tower of Terror. But I think the ones at Universal are way better. Their roller coasters at Universal are way better. I'll tell you that much. I went there with my buddy, Jumbo Inc., a.k.a. Captain Thunder, who just died last Saturday. I'm going to his funeral this Saturday in Florida near Cape Canaveral. I think they should bury him as well at Cape Canaveral, because he was a rocket man himself and a tremendous need for speed. He loved fast cars, NASCAR, Formula One, racing motorcycles, racing boats. He died skiing. That was high speed. He loved going fast. So maybe they should put him, you know, right there near the rockets at NASA, because he was fast and they're fast and everything goes fast there. They go up in the sky fast. It's just badass, right? So anyway, I just can't bear to stand in line anywhere, honestly, anything. I can't even deal with it ever, anywhere. Like, even bumper-to-bumper traffic for me in New York City, it's every day. I lived in L.A., it was bumper-to-bumper traffic, and I'd drive from Huntington Beach to West L.A., to Culver City and Hollywood, whatever, and it was 3 hours to go 40 minutes. That's standing in line in your car. I had a clutch. I had an RX-7 with a clutch. It was convertible. That was nice. I got a nice tan, but I had a limp. Because I was sitting in bumper-to-bumper traffic using a clutch for 3 hours every single day of my life for 10 years. And that was just a monstrosity of a hell. And then I live in New York, which is condensed hell. There's no traffic worse in the world. I've heard all I can take. Miami, Houston, you think you have traffic. You have no traffic compared to New York City. There's more people in New York City than anywhere on earth. California was terrible in LA, terrible in San Francisco, but way worse in New York. I'm standing in line for everything. I'm standing in line at the grocery store. I'm standing in line at the airport. I'm standing in line in traffic. I'm standing in line at the Lincoln Tunnel. I'm standing in line at the Holland Tunnel. I'm standing in line at the George Washington Bridge. I'm just spending my entire life standing in line, and I just hate it. So the last thing I want to do is go to Disney World and stand in line, or Disneyland and stand in line, while they're sucking the money out of my pants. Is there anything worse than that? No, there isn't. Standing in line is what we're doing right now, every day, for the rest of your life. All you do is stand in line, and then time flies by, and then you're old, and then they bury you. Right? I mean, the bottom line is, standing in line is all we do our whole lives. Stand in line at the hospital. Stand in line when you call your insurance company to deal with, like, a medical benefit or life insurance. Anything you do with work, HR, you call, you stand in line. Stand in line on the phone. You might be sitting on your ass, but you're standing in line. And you are waiting, and it sucks, and that's just all there is to it. So the moral of the story is, all we do is stand in line. Even when you're on the bench on a basketball team, you're standing in line. You might be sitting on the pines. You might be riding the pines. You're on the bench, not Pharrell on the bench, but you're actually a bench player, which means you're waiting. You're standing around doing nothing. You don't count. You don't matter. You are standing in line. When you go to the baseball game and you want to get a beer, you're standing in line. When you go to get popcorn, you're the fifth guy in line. When you go to get the burrito, you are standing in line. Ice cream, forget about it. When is the last time you went to the ice cream store and you didn't stand in line? When's the last time you went to the grocery store and you got your ice cream and all your goodies and you're seeing your ice cream melt in your cart as you're at the counter waiting, standing in line behind some fat chick, checking out with her groceries, taking her sweet old time to pack the bags? Does she want paper or plastic? Who gives a rat's ass? Just hurry the Pharrell up so I don't have to stand in this line. I went on the train to New York City. What happened? I stood in line to get my ticket. I stood in line waiting to get on the train. I stood in line to get off of the train. I stood in line when I switched trains. When I went back to get the train back to my house, I stood in line. I went to the train station to switch trains. I had to wait. Waiting is standing in line. If you have to wait for something, you are standing, waiting in line. You have to stay in line to be focused. There is no denying that there's nothing. You go to the gas station. You are waiting for the guy to pump the gas. Even if you don't go first, you are standing in line. You're sitting in your car. It doesn't matter because you're miserable. If you go to the car wash, you are standing in line, waiting to go through the car wash. When the car wash is through, you are standing in line waiting for the guy to dry your car and to clean the interior, to detail the interior, to vacuum the interior. And then you tip them, but you are still standing in line. There is nothing more frustrating in life than standing in line. When I walk my dog, Boston, he constantly stops and smells other dogs and other dog cable, and he smells stop sign posts, and he smells telephone poles, he smells bushes, he smells grass, he smells rocks, and all he does is stop, and then I have to stand in line. I am waiting for the dog to finish his deal, whether it's leaving his scent on the telephone pole, or on the stop sign, or on the rock, or on the bush. I am standing in line. If I go to meet another dog with a lady, and let the dogs play with each other and sniff each other's butts, I am standing in line talking to the lady that I don't want to talk to. So my entire life, I blame Disney World for all of the waiting, all of the standing, and all of the misery. I have spent my entire 54 years of my life standing in line, and I just wanted to say that the entire experience sucks.
Are you ready for the nation's first and only free 24-hour network dedicated to you, the betting and fantasy sports enthusiast? SportsGrid will provide you with real-time content, statistics, and gaming intelligence unlike anything you've ever seen before. Located both in the heart of New York City and inside the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands, SportsGrid is live 18 hours a day, here to serve you, the fanatic. This is SportsGrid. Get on the grid.
So lastly on today's Pharrell and a Bench, I want to get into some other stuff. Like, how about this one? Golfers complaining. In the wake of Graham McDowell getting a slow play warning last week in Saudi Arabia after doing a mid-round TV interview, the friendly Brooks Koepka said, no thanks to doing television interviews. He finished tied for 17th in the tournament and will lose his number one ranking to Rory McIlroy next week. Said he will no longer do TV interviews mid-round. He said, to be honest with you, I don't know any other sport that does interviews in the middle of play. He said Sunday at the European Tour event won by McDowell, I know in football you're not doing it unless it's the Pro Bowl. Basketball, you're not doing it unless it's halftime. This is the only sport where you're talking to people while they are playing. I won't do it. I'm not interested in talking about what just happened or the difficulty of the holes ahead. I'm just focused on one shot at a time. Where's my ball? And how do I hit it? I understand why it might be beneficial to the fans, but I don't get it. Making matters worse for McDowell was the fact that after the warning, he was subject to a one-stroke penalty for the rest of the tournament if he exceeded the time limit for hitting a shot. The European tour later said in-course interviews are an important and integral part of the broadcast, but going forward, it will not request players on the clock to do them. The group of McDowell, Phil Mickelson, and Rafa Cabrera-Bello were told they were out of position, meaning they were subject to a warning if they were deemed to have exceeded a time limit for playing a shot. McDowell said the interview had taken him out of his rhythm and concentration at the moment, and that he deserved leniency. The PGA Tour conducts in-round interviews only on an experimental and limited basis. How pathetic is this? You got to be kidding me. Like, these prima donna golfers, are you kidding? I mean, what a bunch of wuss bags. Like, Koepka, all right, I get it. You're one of the best golfers in the world. I get it. You win slams. I get it. You're making tons of money. Whatever, dude. I will never forget when that guy blew off his girlfriend in the middle of a major. She wanted to give him a kiss before his round, and he just gave her the shankopotamus. He wouldn't even acknowledge her presence. Now he's saying he won't do TV interviews. Who cares, dude? Nobody gives a rat's ass about you and your stupid golf game or the fact that you won't do an interview. I mean, it must be really rough for golfers, right, to do an interview while they're walking around making millions, hitting a golf ball. Now listen, I have golfed my entire life. I was a decent golfer. My best was a 6 handicap when I lived in Huntington Beach. I played 6 days a week. I played in the Inland Empire. I played in Palm Springs. I played all over Los Angeles. But, I mean, I drank beer. I smoked dope. I did everything on the golf course. I mean, I've had golf tournaments where I had strippers as the tee box hosts. So literally I had porn stars and strippers. I did the Playboy Invitational in Fantasy Springs in California in the Inland Empire. I also had, or that was in Indio. I had the Scarlet's Open in the Bahamas where federal police stormed the golf course because strippers were performing, let's just say, wonderful acts of wonderfulness to the players on the tee boxes at every hole, and that it was deemed porno and there was indecent exposure. And then the police came to arrest everyone, and Pharrell ran for his life. I went back to my suite, got my stuff, went to the airport, and flew back to Miami so as to not be arrested for running a porn golfing tournament. So if I can have strippers on a golf course distracting the players, how is it that a microphone will throw the stuck-up Brooks Koepka off of his game? What's the matter, Brooks? Can't handle a little microphone in front of you? Can't talk about your millions of dollars you're making or your majors that you've won or your stupid Saudi Arabia Open performance of 17th? Can't do an interview. It'll throw you off your game or throw you off your world and ruin your concentration. And how about these guys? Slow play violations. I mean, is golf not the slowest sport in the world to begin with as you're waiting for old ladies in front of you to finish their hole? And how about tennis players? Now they make tennis players serve fast. They have a serve clock now in tennis. I was watching the Australian Open. They kept talking about Djokovic serving in the last second before he was going to run out of time and be penalized. What are they going to do? Cut off his hands? I mean, what is next? They got shot clocks in the NBA. They've got a shot clock in the NFL, basically, because you got to snap the ball before the clock runs out. Otherwise, it's delay of game. I mean, it's in every sport now. And then they've ruined hockey with the stupid shootout. You play hockey for 60 minutes, and then they have a 5-minute overtime, and then if nobody scores, suddenly they have to have a shootout where they go back and forth until someone misses and then someone makes it. And the one that makes it after a miss and that has the most makes in the shootout wins the shootout. They have ruined every sport with clocks and funky rules. Now they're starting a new league, the XFL, with all of their funky rules. And they're not stopping the clock at all. I think they're just going to let the clock keep running when the ball goes out of bounds. They're not going to stop the clock ever. They're just going to let the clock run. So the games will be fast, and everyone can go to the game to watch the game with their family and friends. And then they sit down and get their beer, they get their nachos, they smoke their bowl, they're baked, they're good to go, and then they sit down, they kick the game off, and then what, 30 minutes later, the game's over, and everybody goes to their car. I mean, what are you going to do? They're making sports faster now. Do you know? They did that in baseball, too. They said the pace of play was so slow that it was ruining the game. And that's why no one was watching the game. Here's a newsflash for you. People don't watch baseball because it's boring and it sucks. That's why people don't watch baseball. No one is like giving up on baseball because it's taking too long. Now they're going to have what? Robot umpires, and they're going to have pitch clock. You got to pitch the ball quickly, and you can't delay when you get out on the mound. Isn't part of baseball the art of the pitcher out there working his magic and intimidating the batter and checking the signals that the Astros are using while they're cheating or the Red Sox are using while they're cheating? And then maybe you get a little Phil Negro, Joe Negro, where they got a little jelly, a little jizz on the hat. Maybe they put it on the ball, give it a little spin juice. You get a little spinorama, get a little extra movement on that ball, with a little jelly or a little freak grease. You know, and then you got the wooden chipboard, a little filing your nails. You had a little scuffing the ball. Bottom line is, I don't care how long baseball is. If I'm going to go to a baseball game, the biggest problem with baseball is that they don't serve beer past the seventh inning. This is an absolute BS rule that sucks. People should be entitled to drink beer in a boring sport for the entire game, not end the beer sales in the seventh inning so people don't drink and drive. Trust me, you, if you drink enough beer between the first and seventh inning, you will still be drunk driving when you go home an hour later after the ninth inning. The seventh, eighth, and ninth inning will take no longer than 45 minutes to an hour, and by the time you get in your car, you will still be drunk driving. You will still blow over a 0.8. Know that. I have a million friends that are DUI lawyers, and they are all evil. And if you drink all day at a baseball game for 3 hours, and then they stop beer sales in the seventh inning, you will still be drunk when you get in your car after the ninth inning, and you will go kill someone in a car, drunk driving, crash the car, and ruin your life. Or you will crash your own car and hurt yourself. This is not good, but I don't believe that beer sales should ever stop, because you're going to get drunk whether you're allowed to do it for seven innings or if you're allowed to do it for nine innings. The problem with sports is all these damn clocks and all these rules have ruined everything. Golfers don't matter. I don't care if you interview a golfer, because golfers have nothing to say to begin with. How about Tiger? He didn't know that Kobe had died, so when they interviewed him, he didn't know what to say because he didn't know that he had died in the helicopter crash. So they did an interview with a guy that didn't know anything about anything, so they just interviewed him about absolutely nothing. Then they gave him the bad news, and then it ruined his day. So interviews suck, they ruin people's lives, and they never say anything that we can absorb to learn anything. If you don't say anything in a important ever, you are worthless. That is all there is to it. Speaking of baseball, we're hearing about the Mookie Betts to either the Dodgers or Padres trade that's supposed to happen. I will say this, they have great fish tacos at the Padres games at Petco. I went there last summer and I had a blast. They had really good ice cream and they had really good fish tacos. And I cannot believe that the Red Sox are stupid enough to trade their best player in Mookie Betts. And that's all there is to it. He's their best player. They're trading him. Thus, the Red Sox have lost their minds and are idiots. College basketball. Baylor strengthens their hold as the number one in college basketball the other night with a win on the road at Kansas State. But I know this. Whoever's number one now will not be number one when it's all said and done. So college basketball rankings are meaningless, and so are bubble watches. I want to know who gets in the tournament when they unveil who's in the tournament. Until then, you can stick your bracketology in your ass. UFC John Jones says he could beat Stipe Miocic. Well, then let's get it on. What are we waiting for? Jones is fighting some guy, Reyes, on Saturday, and no one cares. Give us fights we care about, for Christ's sakes. Don't forget, you can get the Pharrell on the Bench podcast every day. It also runs on the Fantasy Sports Network and Fantasy Sports Radio and both of their apps. Get their apps, and it's going to run at midnight East and 5 a.m. East every single day. Catch me on Sports Grid, the Sports Grid app, Pluto TV, Zumo TV, and watch Stir. All of those apps have me on. You can catch the shows. I'm on Coast to Coast every day at 4 Eastern. And I'm on In-Game Live at 7 Eastern. Have a great day. Shake out.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.